the latest technology.
The perfect must-have for every golfer.
The coolest trends.
Oh, gnarly!
Insight from the hottest talent and industry insiders.
Sometimes par is good enough to win.
The South Shore's only golf show on the radio. This is Goldie Belt's Golf Live.
It's in the hole!
Here's your host, Liza Churchill.
Welcome to Goldie Bounce Golf. I'm your host, Liza Churchill, coming to you from the lovely South Shore Studios of 95.9 WATD. I'd like to wish everyone a wonderful Easter holiday. By the way, tonight's show has been pre-taped due to the holiday, so we will not be accepting incoming phone calls. My guest tonight is Karen Palacios Jansen. Karen is the 2009 LPGA Teacher of the Year and, among other things, the managing editor of Golf Fitness Magazine and a regular on the Golf Channel show Golf Academy Live. Welcome, Karen.
Thanks for having me, Liza. Thanks.
How are you?
Oh, really good. I'm actually here in North Carolina, and we finally have some good weather.
Oh, really? Yeah. We had a ton of rain here this week in the Boston area.
I know. I heard that. Sorry about that.
You were recently a speaker at the Boston Golf Expo. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes. I've actually been coming up there for 9 years in a row. It's a great consumer golf show if people haven't been before. And they have a variety of booths. They have golf manufacturers there bring their clubs, so you can try out clubs. They have clothes, they have shoes, and they have a stage where speakers get up and talk, and I actually do golf instruction.
You have a program called Cardio Golf?
Right.
Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, Cardio Golf is actually a golf-specific fitness program that I put together. It's available on DVD, and it's also a class that I teach and a program that I do at a couple of gyms. And it's a program that I've actually developed for about 12 years now. It's kind of evolved. And what it is, it's a combination of golf-specific exercises and golf swing drills, and I just packaged it in a little program that you can practice inside. If you have the DVD, you can put it on inside, and it comes with a little short golf club so that you can swing inside the house and you don't hit the ceilings or the walls. And it's just a great program to do if you can't get to the driving range or you want to work on your golf-specific exercise.
So it kind of keeps you in shape?
Yeah, it is. It's like I said, it's a package program that I put together. It starts with a warm-up, so I show you actually how to warm up before you go play or practice. And then I have a whole section where I show you actually how to swing your arms. There's a whole section on how to shift your weight. And then there's a section which I call Groove Your Swing, and it's just continuous golf swing exercises that so you can develop a smooth swing. So it's a little workout for your golf swing.
And how long is the workout?
Well, my classes run about 45 minutes, and the DVD is an hour long, and it includes some instruction in there, and like I said, a warm-up and a cool down and stretch. And, you know, it's really important for golfers to understand that golf is probably a little bit more physical than they think, so you should actually treat it as a sport. You should think of yourself as athletes, and of course, if you played other sports, you always do some sort of warm-up to warm up your muscles and stretch them out before you play, and even afterwards, stretch out and cool down afterwards.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Can people find your product online?
Yeah, it's at cardiogolf.com.
Oh, all right. Now, you also have a company, an event company, Swing Blade Enterprises?
Right. Swing Blade Golf is a company that my husband and I developed together. For those of you who don't know, I'm married to Dan Jansen. He won a gold medal in speed skating a few years ago. So when we got married, we sort of developed this company, and Swing is for golf swing, and Blade is for the speed skate blade. Oh. And we combined it together, and we actually do a lot of outings. He is a motivational speaker, and I'll do the golf clinic. So we go to companies, and he'll be the speaker, and then the next day we have a golf outing, and I'll do a golf clinic, and we'll play with the people. So, we organize the whole thing.
Oh, that sounds really interesting. How long has your company been going?
Well, since we've been married, since 2000, and, we've done a lot of things for GE, for Carpet One, for Microsoft, and it's really fun to be able to work with my husband. He's a great motivational speaker. You know, people love to hear his story. And then we will play golf. And so it's sort of like a team building thing that we've developed together.
Now, you enjoy traveling. You've traveled extensively to teach golf as well?
Yes. I speak Spanish. My dad is Mexican. I grew up speaking Spanish. I grew up part-time in Mexico when I was younger. And so when I actually moved to Miami, I started teaching a lot of people in Spanish. All the South Americans, the Latin Americans would come up during their winter time and take lessons. And so this, you know, it was about 15 years ago, and there weren't a lot of golf teachers in Latin America. So I started going down to all the clubs in Paraguay and Argentina and Venezuela and Mexico to teach golf. And so I've got to teach all over the world. It's been fun. I love to do that. I had a great time meeting a lot of different people and you know, teaching in another country.
You've taught in about 12 different countries, I read somewhere.
Yeah, I have. Everywhere, like I said, Paraguay, Argentina, Venezuela. I've actually been to Austria, taught golf in Austria and in South Africa. So in Tanzania, I was there a couple years ago for a group called Right to Play. It's a charity organization that goes into third world countries, and it teaches kids sports to kind of help them, you know, alleviate their daily problems. And so I got to teach golf in Tanzania to some orphans. So, you know, that was a really neat experience. So I've pretty much taught golf everywhere.
That's so amazing. Now, do you teach exclusively to women or men and women?
Well, I teach a lot of women, but I teach everybody. I don't exclude anybody.
Right.
You know, I would say most of my clientele is men, because I think more men play golf than women. But I teach everyone. I've taught juniors, and I've taught, you know, 95-year-old people. So I've taught them all.
I just would like to know how you find the time to do all that you do every day. Like, can you tell me a typical day for you? You probably don't have a typical day, but...
You know, I don't. It's funny. It depends on the time of the year. Right now, my golf outings are starting up again because it's the spring and people are thinking about taking lessons. So, you know, this past week, I was actually doing a golf school, and so, you know, our golf schools start really early. We'll have breakfast with people. I'll do a stretch, and I'll show them how to warm up, and then we'll go out to the driving range, and we'll video their swings, and then we'll do, like, a swing analysis, and then we'll go back out to the range and work on their swing, and then we'll have lunch. Then after lunch, you know, when we make the practice or play some more, you know, that's probably a typical golf school day. And then, like you said, I'm the managing editor for Golf Fitness Magazine, so I have to edit a lot of articles, write some articles, and so I'll do that in the evening. So I have a pretty full day.
Definitely. And you have a couple children as well?
Yeah, actually, they're my stepdaughters, Jane and Olivia, one's 16 and one's 14, two girls.
Do they golf as well?
You know, they do a little bit. I've taken them out there, and they don't have a lot of friends that play golf, so they're not into it as much as I would like them to be. But they do play, and they like it. And I'm hoping as they get older, they'll appreciate that I can help them a little bit with their golf. So I'd like to help them a little bit more.
Yeah, they probably will. I started a little older myself when I was in college, so I think I appreciate it now. So. How many hours a day do you spend working on your golf game? You're a pretty accomplished golfer yourself.
Well, it depends, again, on the time of the year. I do a lot of group classes, so I spend a lot of time actually demonstrating. So I pretty much have a golf club in my hand a couple hours a day. I'm either demonstrating, or if I have time, I'll practice on my own. But, you know, I'll spend an hour a day working out, like on my fitness. And then I probably spend half an hour to 45 minutes working on my own swing, or I'll be teaching someone else demonstrating. So just about every day I'm either thinking about golf, talking about it, or actually doing it, pretty much.
Do you have a coach that you work with still?
You know, I actually have a bunch of teachers that help me with my swing. When I used to work at the Jim McLean Golf School, after work, all the teachers would get together and we would videotape each other's swings, and we would help each other. And so I have a couple of guys that if I get into trouble with my own swing, I can call up on the phone or I can email them my swing, and they can take a look at it. And I actually, my pro here at the course that I'm at in North Carolina, his name is Jay Mall, we do the same thing. We'll take a look at each other's swings. So, yeah, we definitely have swing coaches. It's funny, people are always like, oh, you're a pro. Why would you have someone look at your swing? But golf is one of those things where if you don't see what you're doing, you know, you might not know that you're making a mistake. And that's why professionals still have swing coaches. You know, Tiger has a coach, Ernie Els has a coach, all the top players have coaches. You need to have someone else take a look at you.
I think so too. Now, how did you get into teaching golf? Was it just a natural progression?
Well, sort of. I played in college, and then afterwards, you know, I had aspirations to play on tour, and I wasn't that strong of a player when I got out of college, so I actually started taking lessons from David Ledbetter in Orlando, and I really got interested in teaching when I took lessons from David, and I have a degree in journalism, and one of the ways that I would pay for my lessons was I would help him write some articles in a newsletter, and so I would kind of you know, work for him a little bit, and then I would get to take lessons and then work for him, and eventually I started realizing that I could probably make more money teaching than I could playing golf, so that's sort of how I got into teaching, and plus I really enjoy it. I like all the, you know, the technical aspects of teaching, analyzing swings. I really like to study the swing. I really like to demonstrate. I like that all aspects of the golf that way.
Well, there's so many strides in technology that they've made over the years with the teaching equipment.
Yeah, it's amazing. When I was a kid growing up, I had a teacher that did a little bit of video, but it was really just to show you what your swing looked like. And when I first started teaching, we used to have those old VHS tapes. I don't know if people remember those.
Oh, I do. Like,
and you'd
definitely.
You literally put them in the TV, and then we had like those markers that you could write on the screen, and we would draw lines on the screen. Well, now everything is digital. You know, you just video the swing, and it's on a computer, and you can compare your swing to a pro swing. You can put a pro swing on top of your swing. I mean, it's just amazing how the instruction is involved. And if you take a look at the kids nowadays, college players, you can see that their technique is so much better than, you know, it has been in the past, because they're getting a lot of good instruction.
Well, the technology's so fast, too. Everything's done in an instant, where before it would take longer.
Right.
Do you know
right.
What I mean?
It's funny how golf instruction has also evolved. We used to have to, when we did the VHS tapes, we would have to stand in front of a camera and, like, demonstrate, and then we'd have to go to the recording room and, like, put it on another VHS tape. And then, I mean, it would just take forever. Now you can just instantly email it, and, the guy has it there, and, like, the next second. Before, we used to have to, like, mail the tapes out. I mean, it's amazing the progress.
I know. What's the strongest aspect of your golf game? Is there one part that you think's the best?
Well, I'm actually, I'm a pretty good driver of the ball. I'm not super long. I average about probably 230, 235, 40 off the tee. But I am, I'm known for being really straight. In fact, like, when I hit the ball outside the fairway, the people that play with me all the time are, like, in shock. So I'm a pretty straight driver of the ball, and so that really helps me be consistent. You know, I'm not competitive anymore to play on the tour, but, you know, I can shoot around par because I keep the ball pretty much in play. I would like to be a better putter, so those are one of my things that I need to work on. To become a better putter, because you make more birdies when you putt well.
It's all about the short game.
It really is.
Okay, Karen, stay on the line. You're listening to Goldie Bounce Golf on 95.9 WATD, the South Shore's favorite radio station. I'm your host, Liza Churchill. Up next, a word from my sponsor, Tommy Hoy of Bayside Realty Consultants. If you're looking for summer rentals on Cape Cod, Tommy is just the person for you to find your perfect getaway.
Whether you're retiring to Cape Cod or buying a second home or condo, introduce yourself to Bayside Realty Consultants in East Dennis. Save time and money with a first-class professional service-oriented real estate firm. Bayside Realty Consultants is that firm. They've been involved with the property and building industry for many years. Their experience and knowledge of the Cape Cod market is extremely valuable when you're looking for your new home or investment property. Curious about how taxes will affect your fixed costs? Do you have questions about mortgages, where to get that mortgage, or the proper terms and conditions? Bayside Realty Consultants will help you with all of that. Let them do all the work.
The pros at Bayside Realty Consultants look forward to building a marketing and sales plan specifically to reach your goals. Just call 508-385-7777. That's 508-385-7777. Or find them online at BaysideRealtyConsultants.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Goldie Bounce Golf. I'm your host, Liza Churchill. My guest tonight is Karen Palacios Jansen. Karen, you have a master's degree in journalism, and you're a member of the Golf Writers Association of America. And tell me about editing the Golf Fitness magazine. You know, it's a really popular magazine.
Yeah, I actually, I have a degree in journalism, and, you know, it was funny, I always wanted to be a golf pro, but I always enjoyed writing a lot, and in my mind, when I was in high school, I thought, oh, someday I'm going to, you know, do something in golf, and this was way before the Golf Channel, and so when the Golf Channel came along, it was like my dream come true, and I've always written instruction and done things with the Golf Channel and magazines, do things for Golf for Women and Golf Digest. And then recently, Golf Fitness Magazine came out, and it kind of combines my two passions, fitness and journalism and golf. And so I've become managing editor. And managing editor pretty much means that I write articles, and then I help other pros and fitness people write their articles as well. So I really enjoy doing that.
And we can find that magazine online?
Yeah, it's at golf. I believe the website address is golf magazine, golffitness-magazine.com. But if you Google Golf Fitness Magazine, you'll find it. And it's online. We have a monthly newsletter with a lot of great information. And then it's also a bi-monthly magazine that comes out, you know, every other month.
Yeah, it's a really good magazine. I've seen it. And when you're on the Golf Channel show, Golf Academy Live, how do you feel about being in front of the camera? Are you just natural and it doesn't bother you? Or?
Well, it's funny. You know, I haven't been on in a while. The Golf Channel's actually kind of changed a little bit. It used to be a lot of instruction when I first started, and now it's more about the PGA. But I love doing those instruction shows. I like to be prepared, so I was like a person that would study and you know, make sure that I had drills and answers for every question. And so, you know, I've really studied a lot before I'd get on there, so I'd be really nervous, and I'd have all the stuff that I prepared that I'd want to say, and then, you know, it's live TV, and then someone would ask me a question that had nothing to do with what I prepared with, so all that would go out the window. So I had to learn to become, like, you know, kind of spontaneous and just learn to, you know, say whatever people wanted to know about. So it took a lot of training and it took a lot of time, but now I'm pretty comfortable getting up in front of the camera and talking about golf because that's what I do every day.
Yeah, it definitely takes a little bit of time. If I get in front of the camera, I'm fine, and then I freeze. Then I forget. Everything goes out of my head. Like everything I ever knew. So it's definitely a little bit of training there. You were named 2008-2009 LPGA Teacher of the Year.
That was really fun.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit about that. How did that come about?
Every year they have, you know, they select a Teacher of the Year. In the LPGA, they actually have sections of the country. And so I'm actually in the southeast section, which includes, like, North Carolina, Georgia, South Carolina, and Florida. And so I was nominated the Southeast Section Teacher of the Year, and then you compete against all the other sections, and I won as National Teacher, and it was really nice for me. I'd been nominated about 8 times or so, and then I finally was nominated the National Teacher of the Year, so I was really happy about that, and I think maybe I was too young before, and so now that I'm old, we'll give it to her.
Well, congratulations. That's a huge honor.
Thank you.
And do you have many private clients that you work with out on tour, like women on the LPGA tour or some of the PGA guys?
Actually, in the past, I've worked with a lot of LPGA players, and at the moment, I don't. I only teach, you know, I'd say private citizens, only because if you work with people on the LPGA tour and the PGA tour, you actually have to travel with them.
Right.
So I would rather just kind of hang out and... And I travel so much on my own doing my other things that I don't go, you know, on the tour anymore. So I have taught, you know, I used to help Sari Pack and a lady named Sue Ginter. And so, and I really enjoy doing that, but, you know, my passion is really just teaching the average Joe.
Yeah. I mean, there's a huge population of average golfers that just want to go out and golf and have fun. And how do you feel about ladies playing in some PGA Tour events like Annika or Michelle Wee did? Do you think that's good for the tour?
Yeah, you know, I didn't object to it. I thought it was kind of cool. Actually, they're not the first ones. A long time ago, a lady named Babe Dietrichson
played in the 50s.
Tour. And she made the cut. So I think it's kind of cool that they played in it. It got us a lot of attention. So I think any attention towards the LPGA Tour is good. You know, maybe they need to structure it just a little bit different and have maybe like five or six ladies play in events, you know, against the men. I think that would kind of be fun to actually do like a structured event where there's, you know, men and women. Like, I like that Wendy's three tour challenge. I think that's kind of cool seeing the men of all the tours. So, you know, I think it's kind of cool that they did that. I mean, it got us a lot of attention. So any kind of attention that the LPGA can get is good for us.
Do you see the LPGA with the new commissioner, Mike Wan, kind of changing around? It seems to be a different vibe. It seems to be going better.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny about Michael. He's actually from the same hometown I'm from, Naperville, Illinois. So I'm really rooting for him to do well because he's, you know, we're from the same hometown. But yeah, I think, you know, unfortunately, the old commissioner kind of came in, and I understood what she was trying to do. She was trying to get equal pay for the ladies, but it came in at a bad time when the economy was going downhill, and she was demanding more money from these sponsors. Meanwhile, the sponsors, you know, were struggling economically, so
right. They
lost a lot of sponsors that way. So I don't think it was entirely her fault. It was like a combination of, you know, just a bad economy. So now I think this guy, he's a little bit younger, has a little bit more experience doing some other things. And so I think, you know, all the ladies on the tour seem to like him. And, you know, I'm part of the LPGA, too, the teaching division, and he writes us emails about once a week, and he gives us his personal email address and his phone number for us to call him. So I think that's kind of cool that he's open to hearing suggestions from other people.
Yeah, he seems really hands-on, like when he caddied in the Futures Tour event last week.
Yeah.
For Lily Alvarez.
Right. I think that's good because then
you can see
what really goes on and you know, how good these women are. And I mean, I think that's a huge step for someone to do that.
I think so, too. I think the Dermot Futures Tour and the LPGA, with their social media, with their YouTube and the Twitter and stuff, the stuff they're starting to do is starting to gel. I think that the issues with the old commissioner, with the social media, maybe it was just because it was also new and fresh.
Right, yeah, I agree.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think it's easy for a player to get burnt out when they're first trying to make it out on tour? I know that you had played on the Futures Tour.
Yeah, you know, it's so competitive nowadays. When I played on the Futures Tour right out of college back in the early 90s, it was completely different. It was kind of, you know, a little loose, not as structured so much. And you could pretty much play in any event that you wanted to. Nowadays, they actually have a tour school to get into Futures.
Yeah, the Q school.
Yeah,
it seems pretty rough, too.
Right, so you have to qualify for it. And so it's a lot more competitive. It's not just women from the United States. They're women from all over the world. And so it's the golf is elevated a lot. You know, when I played, you know, a couple girls would shoot in the 60s. And if you shot in the 60s, you'd probably win the tournament. Nowadays, you know, you might shoot 69 and you might be tied for 10th place. So, it's a lot more competitive. So I think it is easier for girls to get burned out. You know, they might have been a good college player, and then they get on the Futures Tour, and they don't even make a cut. So it's getting tough, which is good because that means the golf is getting a lot better, and we have a lot more women playing. So I think that's good.
I think so, too. Do you have any suggestions for any of the players, you know, just starting out maybe in college or, you know, starting out turning professional, you know, so they don't get burnt out?
Yeah, you know, I think what's really important if you want to play golf for a living is that you need to really, really love the game, that golf is your passion. You need to love golf even if you're five over par and you're going to miss the cut, or you're in the trees, or you're three putting, or whatever, I mean, you really have to love the game, because that's what's going to keep you out there. You know, if you, a lot of the girls, they're young and they're cute and they think they're going to go out on tour and, you know, get all these endorsements or whatever. That, you know, I think those are the girls that don't really make it, because there are so many girls out there that just love the battle. They love
right.
play golf, and they love to be out there, you know, and they would play 18 holes and then go hit like 3 hours of balls, and then like their buddy says, let's go play another 9 holes and then go out again. So
yeah.
You really need to love the game, and you need to love even playing badly, because if most of the time in golf, you're not going to be winning. You're going to be, you know, in the middle of the pack, or, you know, you're not going to be winning all the time. So you have to love the game even if you're not winning. And, you know, Tiger's not, like, the best example to use right away because of this whole thing that's been going on. But that guy, he really enjoys the game when he was playing well.
Yeah, he loved the hunt.
Yeah, he did. He liked to be in the battle. And I think he was even his best when he had, like, made a bogey or a double. Then he was, like, challenged even more to make a few birdies afterwards. So, you know, and that's the way you have to be. If you know, you make a couple of bogeys, you can't just give up and go, oh, forget it. You got to go, okay, now I got to really buckle down and make a couple birdies so that I can make the cut or something. So I think that's what's going to keep people out there and keep them from being burnt out.
I think so, too. Well, Karen, it looks like we're just about out of time. I'd like to thank you so much for coming on and sharing your experience with Goldie Bounce Golf.
Well, I appreciate it. It's been fun talking to you.
Yeah, we'll definitely call you again to come on if you don't mind.
Oh, sure. I'd love to.
For more information, go to kpjgolf.com. Don't forget, for a behind-the-scenes look at the production of the Goldie Bounce Golf Show, check out my blog at goldiebouncegolf.com.
Tune in to Goldie Bounce Golf Live, heard every Sunday night at 6:30 exclusively on 95.9 WATD.